You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome to Catfish on Ice, episode 57. This is Chad Benton, your host with Rick Powell, and we're bringing you more Nashville Predators hockey talk today. How are you doing today, Rich?
Doing good. Doing good. Lots to discuss. Lots going on.
We missed so much in just 1 week of between episodes. Let me tell you, so much is going on in Nashville Predators country right now. And so really excited to bring this podcast episode to you tonight. We hope everyone's having a good week so far on this Monday. And we're like less than 48 hours away now from the expansion draft. We're about to find out who the Seattle Kraken's going to take from everyone. And there's just so much news going on around the league when it comes to deals being made with Seattle. So we're going to get into some of that. But to open up tonight's episode, our opening faceoff is going to be, of course, the Ryan Hollis trade that just happened a couple days ago. That was just crazy stuff that I woke up
to.
That could not believe it. Did not see that coming. I know people were speculating about it. There were a lot of people out there saying, man, I would love to see if we could move Ryan Ellis, but I just don't see how it's possible. And here we are. David Poile actually came out.
I actually thought
Poile
it was
came
a joke.
Out, made a huge move.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it either. At first,
I was looking for one of those fake accounts, you know, that they do where they trick people. And
absolutely.
Of course, you start seeing all the blue check marks next to all these accounts, verified accounts, and you're like, wow. This really happened. Yeah. So that's going to be our main topic of the night. But, of course, we're also going to have some quick hitters to end the episode, talk about some other stuff's going on, including Shea Weber and some unfortunate news going on with Shea Weber. So we're going to talk about that as well. So we got so much to get into for episode 57. And, of course, this is the week where the Tokyo Summer Olympics are going on as well. Oh, and, yeah. Of course, our sponsor is DraftKings. We are brought to you by DraftKings. And right now, I got to tell you, it's my favorite betting app. They do awesome stuff over there. It's a lot of fun to have the DraftKings Sportsbook app. And right now, there's just a great deal for you to go on to the DraftKings Sportsbook app. And 100-1 odds right now if an American team in the Olympics brings home a medal. Seems like pretty good odds if you ask me. So I don't know about you, Rich. That sounds pretty good, right?
I mean, that's a given.
Right? And so, so right now, go get the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. If America wins a medal, that's code THPN to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. New users only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, we ask that you please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or if you're in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. So that's where we're at on that. Again, I use the DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and reliable. It's very easy to navigate the app. And so go get that code THPN on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
I think if you look hard enough on the DraftKings app, you might be able to bet on like two guys like pitching a frisbee in their backyard.
Oh, I'm sure there's something for everybody.
So much stuff.
There's something for everybody for sure. Yeah. So,
we gotta say hey to Colin. Colin's not with us tonight.
Yep. So we're down a player again tonight. Colin's getting his wisdom teeth taken out.
Yeah.
So I imagine that it's kind of hard to do a podcast when your wisdom teeth are taken out. So that's why he is not with us tonight.
Hopefully, his wife got some good film of him saying something weird when he was
right. Yeah, You know, I got my wisdom teeth taken out when I was late in high school. I think a senior year, and apparently I was very apparently I flirted with the front desk.
Oh, wow.
Female as I was leaving the office. So that's kind there of that's my wisdom teeth story there. But all right, let's start off with this Ryan Ellis stuff here. So Ryan Ellis gets traded for. It was a little complicated there at first.
Yeah, it was.
So, of course, you got Philip Myers, the defenseman, a 24-year-old defenseman from the Philadelphia Flyers. And then temporarily, maybe the quickest Nashville Predator stay ever was Nolan Patrick. We're going to raise a banner for him, for sure. Yeah. Got to get a banner for Nolan Patrick. I hope he really enjoyed his time here. There were a lot of
funny
jokes.
Thanks for the memories.
There were a lot of funny jokes out there. I think he actually beat Lucas Spiess's record for shortest time in a Nashville Predators uniform.
He might have.
But Nolan Patrick temporarily comes through in the trade, but then Nolan Patrick goes to the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Vegas Golden Knights send over 22-year-old centerman Cody Glass. And so that's what the Preds get out of it. I know there's a lot of people who are – maybe a little underwhelmed by this return and thought that the Preds should have gotten a lot more for Ryan Ellis. And I can kind of see that part of it. But at the same time, this is just the strategy that a lot of us have been saying we want David Poile to take, which is to bring on a more youthful roster, bring on something that we can build upon, build a new foundation, break away from this core that has failed us for the last 4 years in a row. Yeah. So I don't understand the people that are criticizing this move. I mean, I know you love Ryan Ellis. There's a lot of people who are loyal to him, but I just think this move is a move that unfortunately had to happen. And I think in the long term, it could be really beneficial for the Predators. What are your initial thoughts on it, Rich?
Yeah, I agree. First off, Mike Twitter's on here. Hey, Mike Twitter. He said, Nolan Patrick's my new guy instead of Lucas Spiezel.
while Mike's on here, I got to give him a shout out too. So apparently me and him are both fans of the same baseball team. We're both San Francisco Giants fans.
Oh, there you go.
So salute to you, Mike Twitter, because I've been seeing some of your San Francisco Giants tweets lately. You got a lot of knowledge about the Giants. I'm also a San Francisco Giants fan. Long story short, was my Little League baseball team when I was a kid. That's why they're my favorite team now. There you go. And so I like – Mike Twitter puts out a lot of good San Francisco Giants tweets. So salute to you on that. So we got a fellow San Francisco Giants fan on the podcast right now. So. All right. So, give us your thoughts, Rich.
Obviously really upset to lose Ryan Ellis. You know, everybody loves him. He's a fan favorite. But, you know, I think we talked about it on the podcast before when we played your game, the lose one, keep one game.
Oh, yeah.
We all kind of agreed, like, if it came down to him or Matthias Ekholm, that we'd all kind of want Ekholm. I think David Poile can do nothing right for anybody. Everybody gets mad at him no matter what he does. Fans, you know, were upset when he didn't make any moves, and now he's making any moves, and people are upset because he didn't get rid of him.
He can't win.
Yeah, he can't win no matter what he does.
I think people are so dug in the sand on this. They are firm in their belief that David Poile needs to go. And that there's nothing he can do shy of bringing a Stanley Cup here.
Right.
I don't think there's much he can do to ever fix the opinions, the negative opinions that that a lot of fans have when it comes to David Poile. And I get it. He's been the only franchise's GM, GM for the franchise. And so people are ready for a change. They're ready for a big change. They're ready for a new front office philosophy. And so I understand all that.
I get it, but you know, I'm sure that he shopped Ryan Ellis around to other teams. I'm sure he did his due diligence. He's probably been shopping a lot of the guys around that we don't even know about. And you know, he shed some cap space. That's one good thing. He got a bigger guy. Philippe Myers is like 6'5", 220, something like that. Ryan Ellis is like 5'10", 180, something like that. So, you hate to lose a player of his caliber, but something had to change, and you know, we're finally seeing those changes. So
yeah, and the biggest thing I like about this trade is, again, it's the upside that you can get out of both of these players. You know, they're hopefully going to be entering the peak of their careers in the next couple of years. Whereas Ryan Ellis, yes, I still think Ryan Ellis has some good years of hockey left in him. I'm not saying Ryan Ellis is done, but you're kind of swapping out for potential. Mm-hmm. And one of our fellow contributors on Predlines, Max Greenberg, who's been on the podcast before, he brought up that term potential. You're getting potential here. Most notably for me, it's in Cody Glass. I'm really encouraged by what Cody Glass could maybe become for this team. Maybe not. It's not going to be immediate. I don't think he's just going to make a huge splash right away. But I love that he's a centerman. I love that he's only 22. I love the fact that the talent is obviously there. He's a former sixth overall pick in the 2017 draft. So obviously the guy's got a ton of potential, oozing with potential. And so I think that I think initially he's probably going to be a bottom six player, but you get him in a new system and hopefully he can get some development with playing alongside some of the veterans we already have. And who knows, he can end up becoming a top six center eventually and you'll take that all day for Ryan Ellis if that's what he ends up becoming.
Absolutely. And then like Myers, he actually has some playoff experience. I think he's played in 16 of the games in 2019, 2020 when they were in the bubble. He actually scored 3 goals in the playoffs. So, you know,
Let's not get it twisted. He's not coming in here to bring us offense.
He's not. But
he's a big body. He's going to play that physical brand of hockey that John Hines loves.
And that's a good thing. And that's what he wants to do. And that's what he's going to put in place. So,
you actually did a write up on Phil Myers. And so kind of give us a rundown from that article on Predlines of kind of what you saw out of Myers. If you have anything else to add to it that you have from your piece.
Just that the size aspect, you know, that's what Poyle's wanting to do. You know, he traded, like I said, Ryan Ellis wasn't a big guy. He was a good defenseman, obviously one of the best, but you know, I think Poyle's moving him to where they're more obviously wants to play a tougher game, and that, you know, a 6'5" defenseman is definitely going to get that done for you. So, I'm happy with it. You know, I'm glad it wasn't like Matias Ekholm, like we said. So I'm okay with it. You know, I just wish that people would see, you know, David Poyle's done this for a long time and he's got a plan, and, you know, he's doing what he can to make this team better. And, you know, he's ripping the Band-Aid off, and that's what needed to happen.
We've been saying that for a while, the whole ripping the Band-Aid off thing. That's kind of our analogy to this whole thing and it kind of stings a little bit, you know. I think fans are also freaking out a little bit because we're still kind of fresh off the Victor Arvidsson trade.
There's
very few core players left from that Stanley Cup team.
Yeah, it's been a tough few weeks because we lost Arvidsson, and then, you know.
And you're likely about to lose another player in the expansion draft on Wednesday that you care a lot about, which we're going to get into a little bit later in this episode when we talk about the protection list that the Preds revealed.
Yeah, we lost Arvidsson and Rene.
Change scares a lot of people, a lot of fans. You know, it scares people. But I think for the fans who really understand the business side of hockey and they understand what's going on here, I think they're applauding the move. I think they're seeing it for what it is. I think they're understanding that we can't hold on to these players forever. You know, they've had plenty of time. I know that I'm even seeing some rumors out there that they think that the locker room is going to be a disaster and the locker room is becoming toxic again because Phil Forsberg's not going to be happy because he lost one of his, you know, he's lost two of his really good friends. And I just don't buy into any of this. I would really hope that these players are more professional and they see the bigger picture in this, and they're not going to somehow demand to be traded out of Nashville because they're not happy because Ryan Ellis got traded or because Victor Arvidsson got traded.
And you got to consider where you see that. It's probably on Twitter.
There's not
very many people. I know there's probably one or two people on Twitter that I would even trust when they say something like that.
They might say that about us for all we know.
They might. I mean, we don't know, obviously.
All right. So I think let's kind of discuss from this trade some of the impacts it made, other than just the trade itself on face value. I mean, it really it frees up more cap space for David Poyle to be a little aggressive in this free agency market. There are some things in play. If he wants to go out and I'm not going to go as far as Jack Eichel. I'm sorry. You're not going to get me to go on that. Go on that. But he does have some money to play around with now to get creative. And if he's calling this a quote unquote competitive rebuild, competitive rebuild, which honestly, I think that's playing with semantics here. Let's just call it what it is. It's a rebuild. Of course, it's a competitive rebuild. Isn't that what every rebuild is? No team's rebuilding saying they don't want to be competitive. So I really, I think he's just playing around with words there. But if we're going to call it a competitive rebuild, then perhaps David Poile is going to competitively try to add another piece to this team with the money he's got available. And so I think we're in store for another big addition to this team.
Oh, I think so too.
I think he's going to have to make another addition because you're about to lose another forward most likely.
Exactly. And so you've already
lost Victor Arvidsson, and now you're going to lose another forward. We'll get into that again in the next segment, talking about the projection list. But he's going to have to go out there and spend some of this money he just freed up from the Ryan Ellis trade.
Yeah, he's going to have to pay. They also want to extend Forsberg and Matthias Ekholm, and then he's going to have to pay UC Saros. So, he's saving up some money to get all that stuff taken care of. And then I know we're going to talk about it later, but there's always the potential of having to pay Shea Weber.
Yep.
That'll be $5 million in cap space. So,
yeah, we're going to talk about that entire unfortunate situation to round out this episode. But all right. So another thing, and it's going to take us into our next segment. And that is, I think that it also kind of shifted the protection list a little bit around. Once Ryan Ellis was traded, because you bring Cody Glass in, who didn't require protection.
Yep.
And it also brought in Myers, who they very interestingly did protect. And of course you're going to protect him because you just traded for the guy. But so the Predators ended up becoming the only NHL team to protect five defensemen.
When they do something, they do it right.
That is pretty wild to think about because you're seeing most of these NHL teams go all in on protecting their forwards. You're seeing, five, six, seven forwards be protected in some cases. Whereas the Preds, nope, they didn't see. This really sends a message for me from David Poile that he does not hold high regard for his group of forwards outside of Forsberg, obviously.
Yeah, but that kind of tells me he is going to probably try to get somebody, but he's also going to rely on like your Matthew Olivier's, your Ellie Tolvanen. Philip Tomasino, possibly.
Thankfully, Tolvanen didn't require protection.
Yeah, which is crazy
because that would have been a player you had to protect. But let's go over this protection list real quick. Let's go ahead. I'm sure most of our diehard fans already know what it is, but let's go ahead and list it off here. Of course, Philip Forsberg was protected. No surprise there. UC Saros was protected. Wasn't a surprise there at all. Ekholm was protected. No surprise there. Roman Josi had the no move clause, so he had to be protected and would have been even if he wasn't on a no move clause. So those four were very set in stone and were no surprise at all. Yep. Then it gets a little bit more surprising. I think Luke Cunning was everyone expected him to be protected, and wisely so they protected him because I think he would have been very enticing for Seattle.
Because once again
being left exposed.
Another young guy.
He's young as well. And he proved himself down the stretch last season. He was a very vital player to this team.
Yeah. So he became a favorite of mine.
He absolutely deserves protection. So glad to see him on there. And then we're going down the list. I'm kind of ranking this in terms of how surprised I was by it.
Yeah.
I'm getting more and more surprised when I see some of these players. Dante Fabbro got protected. I wasn't sold. After I saw Ryan Ellis traded away and I saw Myers come in. Mm-hmm. I wasn't exactly sure Fabbro was going to get protected, but he did.
Yeah, it was kind of up in the air. I know we've talked about it before, but that's.
Well, there was also all this talk about Fabbro wasn't used in the playoffs. And so everyone was like, is he in the doghouse? What's going on here? Does he even have a future in Nashville? Well, apparently he does. He got protected. And I'm happy about that. I'm very happy about that because I've been one of the biggest proponents of Fabbro and his future. And I think that he still has a really bright future, in my opinion. So, and then let's see here. So then we got Alex Carrier, who got protected.
I thought that was a must.
That was a must. I think they were in a tough position there to where they had to, because again, he played, he showed that he's ready for the NHL.
Yeah. I see him with Josi next
year. Yes. I actually, as Carrier continues to develop even more and just keep improving and gets even more comfortable on the NHL level.
Yep.
Josi and Carrier on the same pairing. I love that.
I do
because Carrier's got some offensive flash to his game as well.
He does.
Having those two, that's another reason why I think Poile was kind of willing to trade someone like Ellis. I think that shows how confident he is in both Favreau and Carrier.
Yeah.
He was willing to part ways with Ellis like that.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that.
100%. Not a big surprise that he was protected. Here is where here's the big one. And I think everyone knows who I'm about to say. Tanner Janot got protected. And I am not criticizing Janot. I know there's a ton of people out there who love them some Tanner Janot, and I am one of them.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Predators used one of their protection spots to protect a fourth liner who brings energy and grit, but really hasn't proven himself yet as a regular on the NHL level. Wow. That is a huge surprise.
Same here. Yeah, I agree 100%. That's not who I would have picked, but
you would have needed a crystal ball to see that coming, because absolutely, I didn't see anyone speculating about that out there. That took us all off guard.
Yeah,
and here's the puzzling thing about protecting Janot. If you leave him exposed, I'm not so sure Seattle will take him anyway.
I don't think so.
That's where I'm baffled by this. I think you could have used that protection spot on someone else that you might very well lose now, because I don't think Janot is going to get – I don't think he needed to be protected. I think he was coming back regardless. Yeah. So, and if Seattle did take Janot because you didn't protect him, well, then you just – you know, you deal with it. It sucks. You don't want to lose a player like Janot, but you deal with it. I can't get with Poile on this one. I'm sorry.
Well, this isn't an original idea by me. I've seen this other people say this, but the people that he left unprotected, like Sissons and Yarncroc and who else is on here?
Grimaldi,
not so much.
Ryan Johansson.
This wasn't my idea, but it makes me think that he might be trying to get Seattle to take like Ryan Johansson. It could very well be happening.
And
Cali Yarncroc is a piece to.
We could even see a leak come out. I mean, you're already seeing leaks coming out right now with certain things about how what Seattle's doing behind the scenes. You've got all your NHL insiders like Pierre LeBrun and Elliot Friedman and all those guys, and they're already starting to leak some stuff out there that's going on behind the scenes.
Yep.
And so
makes me so think very, he might very, do something like
yeah,
that.
Very well, they could be doing something right now to. I don't think it's going to be Duchesne, though, because I don't know if you saw those comments.
I did.
102.5 The Game today, the flagship station of the Nashville Predators. David Poile said that Matt Duchesne is very much in their plans for next season.
Yeah, he said we expect a lot out of him next season. But I think he said that for the past couple seasons, but hopefully this one
will be different. He could very well just be playing chess here.
He could
very well be trying to throw other people off and – you know, you just don't really know. And that's what makes this so suspenseful here, you know? Yeah. And so
I would have protected Cali Yarncroc.
I was actually about to ask you who you would have protected instead.
Definitely Yarncroc. He's one of my favorite guys.
We're splitting off here. I would have protected Sissons.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It would have been a tough call for me. But the reason why I would have protected Sissons is you cannot underestimate how important a player like Sissons is who gives you depth, gives you penalty killing, can contribute in the faceoff circle, can forecheck, can play smart. I know he's never turned into the big goal scorer that a lot of people hoped he might become, but you just can't underestimate the value he has. And I'm sticking firm on my belief that I think that the Kraken are going to take Sissons.
Yeah.
Unless we make a deal with Seattle when it comes to Johansson or Duchesne. I think if it's just a normal selection for Seattle, I think they're taking Sissons.
Yeah, I would take Yarncroc. I mean, he's more consistent, I guess, and he's a same kind of like do all player. He does everything. So and he's been really consistent the past few years. So
But it's like,
if I was Seattle, I'd probably pick him, but I don't know.
It's like, I'm just looking over this protection list here, and I'm like, okay, let's go back to Janoe here. If you take Janoe off and you leave him unprotected, and we both think he wouldn't have been picked anyway, and you would have used it to protect either Sissons or Yarncroak, then you would have lost the other one that you didn't protect, because you couldn't protect both of them.
Yeah. If you look at who they didn't, those two guys, I mean, you've got Yakov Trenin, that's probably a good pick for them. But out of all the people, not including Duchesne and Johansson, Yarncroak and Sissons are the two top players.
Well, I mean, look, so I'm seeing everyone's putting out their little mock expansion drafts here, and I always like to see, and these are coming from people who don't follow the creds, like cover the creds. These aren't creds outlets here. These are outlets that cover other teams, but they're putting out these mock drafts, and I'm seeing the preds select or the selection of the preds all over the board. I've seen people predict Grimaldi. I've seen people predict Grimaldi. I've seen people predict Johansson, of course. I've even seen someone predict that, and I think this is wrong, and I would love it if this happened. Someone actually, I don't even have them written down who it was. It was a verified account. They predicted Matt Benning to be taken. Oh. Really? Seattle, I was like, what? In what universe is that going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
But either way,
that's so crazy, but whatever.
But yeah, all over the board, though. So
out of all those guys,
I still see how that would happen.
But, I wouldn't even pick Grimaldi. I hate to say that because I like
him. I mean, they do have to pick so many positional players.
That's true.
So it could happen if they already pick all the forwards that they want.
That's true.
It could be possible that Seattle already sees other forwards that they like more.
Yeah, they might. That's true. And then, you know, Nashville's not the only team that's dangling, like, big contract players out there either, because, like, Vladimir Tarasenko is also from St. Louis. He's one that they're trying to get them to take him as well. So he wasn't protected. So not just a Nashville thing.
So we should go ahead and let everyone know that Wednesday we are going to be recording live while the expansion draft is happening.
Yes.
So we will be you will get our very raw emotions on not only who the Preds lose, but also some of the other craziness and drama that's going to be part of this expansion draft. So stay tuned for that this Wednesday. It's going to be televised on ESPN2. So we will have it on in the background, and as it happens – and as the news comes out that it's out there and everyone knows, because it's gonna be instant reaction all over Twitter. We will give you our instant reaction as it happens. And so we plan on going live just before the telecast goes live. And so stay tuned for that on this Wednesday. It should be a lot of fun. And Colin will be back for us with that too. He'll be back for that. So we'll be happy to have him back by then.
He might be puffy, but
– he might be a little puffy, but he ain't missing that one. He is not going to miss that one at all.
No.
And so there's where we have it. And so give us your thoughts in the group chat here on the stream chat if you're watching live right now. Let us know what you think about the Preds protection list. And I got Rich over there scanning the comments. And so if we see anything good over there, Rich will share them on our show right now.
Well, Mike Twitter, he said he would keep Yarncroak as well.
Okay.
But says it would suck. But says it would suck to lose either him or Sisson. So
yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. Totally. So we're kind of in a spot where it's like you're gonna have to lose someone that you probably care about, most likely. So all right, so let's move on from that. Again, this is episode 57 of Catfish on Ice, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network, represented by DraftKings. So go get the DraftKings Sportsbook app now in time for the Tokyo Summer Olympics that are starting this week. 100-1 odds to win $100 in free site credits if a team, an Olympic team from America, from the United States of America, wins a medal. So you've got pretty good odds there, I would say.
Definitely.
And so go ahead and do that now. Get the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use our promo code THPN for all new users at sign up. Let's get into something that, again, goes way above hockey here and something that I just think is a really positive and great thing today. And that is Luke Prokop, who is a prospect in the Pred system, and he became the first active NHL player ever to come out as being openly gay. And, you know, the important thing about this to pull from this is how it can affect other people who feel feel like they're not included or feel like they're not welcome, or maybe they're afraid that they're going to be rejected. And so they're, you know, they're living a lie, or maybe they're not living as their true self. And so I think that the best thing that I really like from this is he is coming out as someone who could be an ally to someone else who maybe is very nervous or very afraid of being rejected, whether it's by family, by friends. And so they're hiding and they don't want to be their true self, and that no one should ever feel that way. And so I really salute Luke Prokop for coming out and putting himself out there. It takes a lot of bravery and a lot of courage to do this. And so I have the utmost respect to him. He's definitely got an ally in me. I don't want anyone to ever feel excluded for their sexual orientation or for anything like that. And so just kind of your thoughts on it, Rich.
It was probably very, very hard for him to do that. And, you know, kudos to him for even doing it and being brave enough to do it. And what was cool is to see the reception by the rest of the NHL, because all the teams started.
Even Gary Bettman came out and put out a response on it. Yes.
Yeah, he did. And then Sean Henry, the Predators president, he released a statement saying full support. Obviously, David Poile did. And then tons of teams.
Even Roman Josi came out and said something about it. Yep. Your team, and that's why he is such a good team captain.
Oh, I know.
What captains are made of, right there. Yeah. As a leader of the team in the locker room, he came out. And can you imagine how Luke feels seeing? Because he hasn't even made it to the NHL yet.
No.
Can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine how inspire? How I don't know if inspiring is the right word, but how much that can really strengthen him to see someone on Roman Josi's level come out there and support for him. So
on Instagram, I think it was Philip Forsberg. He put something on there and said, can't wait to see you in camp. All the players that I follow on Instagram, you know, nothing but breath of good words, proud of you, you know, the whole thing. So it was good. It was good to see.
It's
make me feel good.
It's a really historical thing to happen.
It is.
And I really love seeing all the positivity coming from the Preds in support of him. That's huge. And so I do want to share some of his message here, because he put out a pretty long, well-written, beautifully written message. Yeah. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's pretty long, but I do want to read part of it. He just started off by saying this is from Luke Prokop. This was his actual message he put out there. Hi, everyone. While the past year and a half has been crazy, it has also given me the chance to find my true self, and I am no longer scared to hide who I am. Today, I am proud to publicly tell everyone that I am gay. He goes on to say, I wouldn't be able to do this without my amazing family, friends, and agents who have known this about me and met me with love and support every step of the way. I hope that in sharing who I am, I can help other people see that gay people are welcome in the hockey community as we work to make sure that hockey is truly for everyone. That's the big part of his statement that I saw. And it's not just about Luke. It's about others who don't have his platform, who can now maybe feel get some bravery out of this, you know, like maybe they can feel like they can come out and be who they are. And so that's what I get out of this.
It's good for the NHL because they've notoriously been, you know, not
really bad about
things like that.
On
a lot of issues, but yeah,
but they've handled it. They've handled it really well today. I also saw that the NHL is donating $100,000 to some charities of Luke's choice.
Yep.
Or in partnership with Luke. And so that's awesome as well. Anytime you're helping charities, that's when it's way above hockey and wins and losses and all of that stuff. So we did not want to overlook that in our in tonight's episode, because that is some truly groundbreaking and awesome news there. Congratulations to Luke Prokop for coming out and putting that out there for the world to see.
Yeah, he might find his way on the Admirals soon.
He might.
No, I think if he was drafted in 2017, you know,
he should be getting close. Yeah, for sure.
Be getting close. So,
we'll keep an eye on that. Yep. All right. So definitely. Let's go to the last part of our episode again. This is episode 57 of Catfish on Ice with Chad Mitten and Rich Howe. We got Colin Bloom coming back for Wednesday's live expansion draft episode. So we'll be happy to get him back on Wednesday.
Yep.
So you don't have to listen to just these two knuckleheads talk. You can actually, exactly. You can actually listen to a third knucklehead as well.
Yeah.
And so, all right, so let's get some quick hitters to round out episode 57. And the first quick hitter we have for tonight is the Shea Weber situation, which is you want to talk about feeling powerless here as the Preds organization. So the main part of it, it's pretty complicated stuff. Where you have to be pretty wise into how the salary cap works and all that. But basically, if Shea, just to really make it a very basic understanding, if Shea Weber is unable to play and has to retire, the NHL will get to do what they call a salary recapture.
Yep.
And since the Predators were the team that initially signed this long term, which was originally a 14-year contract, I believe, they're still on the hook for a big chunk of this money over the next 5 years if Shea Weber decides to retire. It's just short of $5 million per year that the Preds would be on the hook for if Shea Weber is unable to ever play again. And so I just want to share some stuff that I read from I want to say it was from Sportsnet here. I've got it right here. Basically just talking about, all right, first of all, Shea Weber has been playing with a lot of injuries for a long time. This is one of the ultimate Iron Men of the sport. The guy is tough as nails. He really is. And so, you know, he's the type where I don't think he's just gonna say, I'm done. I don't want to play anymore.
I hope not.
But it comes down to the doctors are having to look at him they're looking at his quality of life past hockey.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's when it takes on a whole nother level of concern here.
They said his surgeries weren't to get him to be able to play hockey again. It was just so he would have a better quality of life once he does quit.
That is some really scary stuff there.
That's tough. Yeah. So he had
mess around with that.
He had like a hand injury, and I know he had something wrong with his foot. That's lingering because that happened last year or 2 years ago. And then I think knee. Was that it? Hand, knee. Yeah. Yeah. So that's tough. And you never tell. You watch him play, you can tell that he's hurt. Because he's one of the toughest players in the NHL. So
where we're kind of at with this right now is you're really hoping that the NHL is going to rule that Shea Weber can go into long-term injury reserve. Because if that happens, then that's when the whole salary recapture thing does not happen. And with his, you know, you would think he's eligible for this. I don't see why he wouldn't be. You know, that's what's kind of confusing me here.
Yeah, Tampa Bay did it.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that – you know, and also Montreal left Shea Weber unprotected.
They did.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be taken necessarily, but I'm just saying they left him unprotected.
Yeah.
And so that's just another crazy part about this. But yeah, you're bringing up the injuries here. Left foot and ankle problems.
Yep.
He missed 2 weeks of injury in February of 2020. He had surgery to repair tendons in the area. So he's had an injured thumb. This offseason, I mean, the guy is just – and he plays that type of hockey.
He does.
So the guy plays with a ton of injuries all the time.
Yep.
And so you're just really hoping that – first of all, we care about the person first.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can deal with the salary cap stuff on a whole different way. But you care about the person first. You don't want his quality of life to be affected here. And so first things first, we hope the surgery goes well and goes smoothly. And then we can kind of think about, okay, is he going to be able to get on long-term injury reserve? Will he be able to play once again in the NHL? It won't be next season. They're saying he probably won't play at all next season.
No. So I don't see it happening.
It's really tricky stuff here.
It's crazy. So that's kind of why we talked about it earlier. We think that Poyle's saving up some money for salary cap.
Deal with that.
Because, like, I see it happening down the road eventually. I mean, you know, how old is he? He's like 36, 37, I believe.
I believe he's 36.
36. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's getting up there in hockey age. So,
especially the way he plays.
Especially with how he plays. So, if it doesn't happen this year or even next year, the Predators will probably more than likely
end up owing some money. Yeah, they're going to be paying for this. Yeah, it's looking very likely that unfortunately they're going to have to. And they knew that when they signed the deal originally. Mm-hmm. They knew the risk. Mm-hmm. And you know, hindsight's always 20/20. But I think at the time, the Preds kind of had to do what they had to do. They had he was the superstar of the Nashville Predators even before Pekka really ascended into being. Shea Weber was kind of the first face of this franchise.
Yeah, everybody like
the elite superstar status. Shea Weber did it even before Pecorine reached that elite superstar level. Yeah. And so they got their superstar for that. It was a very long-term deal. They matched that offer sheet with Philadelphia. That's kind of where this all came about. And at that time, and I want to give some credit to Mark Howard. I don't know if you know Mark Howard. He's locally, mm-hmm. he used to call Preds games for Fox Sports South. And he's used to also have a morning radio show here. He's been covering Nashville sports for decades. And he was on 102.5 The Game, I want to say last week, talking about this. And he brought up a really good point about how when they signed this deal for Shea Weber, if they would have lost Shea Weber at the time, that was during a time when the Preds were – there were still talks about them moving.
Oh, right.
That was a tough stretch of hockey there for the Preds going on there. And if they would have lost a fan favorite elite superstar to Philadelphia, like Shea Weber was, that could have been the last straw for a lot of people.
Yeah, we and might not be sitting here.
much like Pecorine is a big reason why the Preds stayed in Nashville, Shea Weber is right there in that same conversation.
And fans love Shea Weber so much, they're mad right now. Some of them are because they're going to give Myers number 6. So people are a little ticked off that they're giving. Shea Weber doesn't even play here anymore.
Yeah, I know. They're going to have to get over that one, though.
Yeah, I agree.
They're going to have to get over that one.
Yeah.
Real quick, I skipped over something in the last segment talking about the protection list. We put out a poll asking our listeners and followers which player they're most worried about losing in the expansion draft. And on polls, you only get four choices. And so you got Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, Dante Fabro, and Cal Yarncroke were the four options I put on there. But I allowed for write-ins.
Yeah.
And so Cal Yarncroke led the poll with 41% there.
Yep.
So how do you feel about that?
I agree 100%. Like, I really think that he's going to be who they pick, and that's going to be a sad day because I really like him a lot. Yeah.
I think those fears are very understood for Preds fans right now. Yeah, so 41%, Fabro got 32%, Ryan Johansson. I had to put Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene in there just because I know how people feel about them two players. And not shocking at all that Ryan Johansson only got 15% and poor Matt Duchene only got 12%. No. So now there's not a lot of people worried about losing Matt Duchene right now. Yeah. So I've also got to share some of the responses here in the comments. We got a lot of responses from this poll, and there's some really funny responses here. Let me get to these because they're hilarious. You can never discount what some of our Preds fans can come up with. Everyone knows Landry Agnes. He's been on the podcast plenty of times in our stream chat. He put, can we add David Poile to the list? So here comes the David Poile slander once again. It always shows up.
He is a noted David Poile.
I did tell Landry we would put him in the write-in section here. So David Poile, unfortunately, was not eligible for the expansion draft for Seattle to take him. And so Michael Granlund's on there. Tanya on Twitter said Michael Granlund. So there is some confusion about like why teams don't protect unrestricted free agents. And it's not because they can't be picked. It's just that more than likely Seattle's not going to pick a free agent who's got the freedom to sign wherever they want. Right. Cause you would essentially be wasting a pick if that player doesn't want to sign with you. And so that's kind of the understanding of why you don't have to protect your free agents. Yeah.
They're actually, I just saw something about, they're talking about picking Chris Driedger from Florida.
Yes,
but they're negotiating. They're negotiating a pretty fat contract for him.
Yes.
So ahead of time, so that he'll want to stay there. I think it's like I wrote something about him. I think he was making like $750,000. That was what his.
So if they make any, if they make any deals for free agents right now, that counts as their pick.
I guess so. Team. Yeah.
Like you can't, but, you can't take a. I'm pretty sure you can't take a team, a free agent from a team, and then also pick another player from their team. I think that counts as their pick. So
yeah, I think that's so. It looks like that's going to be when he's going to be one of their goaltenders. So.
Well, that'll be a good one for them to start off with.
And they were going to pay him like $3.5 million a year or something like that. So
Christian on Twitter said, to be honest, none of these players. Jordan on Twitter said Colton Sissons, which is I'm right there with Jordan on that one. It's Colton Sissons for me. And then, of course, Eli Farmer, another Predlines contributor, said many of us are very worried about losing Sissons and Cal Yarncroke. We also had some quote tweets here. Boyd, who is a contributor for Penalty Box Radio, Boyd's a really good follow on Twitter. If you're more worried about losing a near 30-year-old forward almost at the end of his contract over a 24-year-old defenseman, you're wrong. So I think he was referring to protecting Alex Carrier.
There. Oh, yeah. Yep.
House Cats on Twitter said Tanner Janot. Well, you don't have to worry about that now.
Nope.
Smashville Pessimist, we know all about Smashville Pessimist, said none of these people, shocker. And then Max Greenberg, our guy Max Greenberg, said I can't lose Fabro for absolutely nothing. A bright young defenseman who's a former first-round pick, I'd be shattered. Yep. So you don't have to worry about losing. This was before the protection list was revealed.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So Max Greenberg, you don't have to worry about losing Fabro because he's protected. You'll be all right. So your fears can be pushed to the side there. All right, so let's get into our last couple quick hitters here. The preseason schedule was announced, and I don't even care that preseason hockey doesn't count. I still cannot wait for preseason hockey. I will be there. I will be there cheering, and I will be cheering like it's game one of the Stanley Cup Final.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait for Preds hockey to come back. I don't care that expectations are low. I still want to see those I still want to see the guys in gold in person. It's been a whole year since I've seen Preds hockey in person. My last Preds game I went was actually on the road in Dallas right before everything shut down for COVID. It was March.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first week of March 2020. We went down to Dallas and saw them play. And that's the last time I saw the Preds live. So I went
around Christmas before COVID to the Coyotes game that they won.
Okay.
So that's been a while too for that.
It's been a while.
So which game would you want to go to?
Yeah. So I'm looking at the preseason schedule here. They always play the Panthers. The Panthers are always part of their preseason.
I think that's the one I would want to go to.
And that's actually going to be at Florida, both games. So unless you're planning unless you're planning a trip down to Florida, won't be able to go to that one.
No, I read that wrong. Okay. I'm sorry. So Tampa Bay or Carolina.
Hmm. Yeah. And hey, both of those would be interesting, right? I think I think go ahead and sign me up for the game against Tampa Bay. I would like to see the Cup champs come into Bridgestone here. And
I think I would rather go watch Carolina.
I mean, of course you're gonna see a lot of like fourth liners and a lot of prospects in those games, but it's still gonna be a fun game to watch. And so six game slate starting on Sunday, September 26th. So start counting down the days that the Preds are back on the ice playing competitive hockey. Sunday, September 26th is when they open up the preseason against the Florida Panthers. That will be a doubleheader on Sunday, actually, not Saturday. Sunday, September 26th. So mark your calendars. We don't have it'll fly by, I promise. It will. All right, last quick hitter of the night before we wrap up episode 57. I went back 30 episodes there, dang.
Oh, wow.
Episode 57.
That's been a while.
Catfish on Ice. And that is this talk about Seattle and how they're going for Carey Price.
Oh, that's crazy.
There's conflicting. there's nothing is set in stone. No one's saying that the deal is going to definitely happen, but it's not off the table either.
No. Did you see?
So Pierre LeBrun's been my go-to follow on this one. He's been all over it. He's of The Athletic. I'm sure if you're a hockey fan at all, you're already following him. But he's been talking about this a lot today. And his last tweet regarding this was earlier today. And this was yesterday he tweeted about this. Told that Carey Price is scheduled to to see a doctor in New York this week regarding a knee issue, which could potentially lead to surgery. The hope is that's not too serious, as Frank Cervelli reported. Also believe Price will have his hip checked out, but the potential for surgery, I'm told, is knee related. So that has something to do with it as well, probably.
Well, I saw that somebody, I don't remember who tweeted it, said that he could miss like several, like maybe half of a season. And also, I think he makes like $11 million or something a season. That's what,
but they got to get to the cap floor, though.
Man, that's a lot of money.
LeBron also said it's a hefty contract to be sure, but I'm told the Seattle Kraken are taking a deep dive internally on whether or not to take Carey Price in the expansion draft. My guess is they don't in the end, but I do think there's a better chance of it than I first thought. Intriguing. So could you imagine though, if Seattle got Carey Price and he somehow played the way he played down the stretch for them, for the Montreal Canadiens? I mean, it would be very similar to the Vegas Golden Knights getting Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, exactly. I was looking at the list of other goaltenders so that were left unprotected. So Tuukka Rask was left unprotected, but
Ben Bishop. Ben Bishop. A lot of people are predicting Ben Bishop right now.
Yeah, he waived his no move clause for that. And then another one was Braden Holtby.
Yes. I've seen a lot of Braden Holtby, and I've seen a lot of Ben Bishop.
Yeah, so God, that's such a gamble though to get Carey Price, but I don't know.
Speaking of protecting goaltenders, the Stars kind of surprised me by protecting Hudobin over Bishop.
Yeah, that was.
I would have swapped those in my prediction if I was predicting there.
Yeah,
I thought they were prepared to let Hudobin go, but they kept Hudobin, and they're gonna expose Bishop. So most likely, the Seattle Kraken are gonna have a pretty solid tandem in net.
Yeah.
But you're also, I'm seeing a lot of people out there saying, don't expect Seattle to be as good as Vegas was.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
They're going to be decent, but maybe not like another expansion team, you know, pushing for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. That's for sure. I don't know. This will be my first expansion draft, so it's kind of exciting.
I don't even remember the Vegas expansion draft being hyped up nearly as much as this one. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just prisoner of the moment right now, but it's really being hyped up here. And yeah. First of all, I'm not going to have the hate for the Kraken like I do for the Golden Knights.
No.
I'm gonna leave my biases aside here. I'm going to give them a chance. They're in the Pacific Division, so I don't have to worry about them as much as a Predators fan. But I am going to be pretty ticked off if they end up being one of the top teams in the league instantly.
It's true. They're supposed to have they've got like a bunch of famous people doing the pick reveals.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
In different locations around Seattle.
Like, I can't wait.
They said Sean Kemp was going to do one and Gary Payton.
Sean Kemp was one of my favorite NBA players as a kid.
Oh, dude, he could dunk so hard.
That's going to be fun. And, you know, Seattle definitely deserves a hockey team.
Yeah,
it's a great market for sports. You know, they lost the Seattle Supersonics a while back ago, and that city deserves to have a hockey team. So I'm really happy for that city.
Yeah,
it's going to be great for the NHL in terms of ratings, and of course it's going to be televised on ESPN. This is going to be the first NHL event to be on ESPN in a very long time, if my memory serves me correct. I don't think ESPN's done an NHL event yet since they signed the new deal, I'm interested to see how ESPN televises it. I want to see their production value on it. Hopefully, they do a good job. I know a lot of hockey purists are a little on the fence on how to feel about ESPN taking over for the NHL coverage, but Wednesday is going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to do the live episode with Eric.
It will be. It's going to be cool.
So give me maybe a couple other teams that you're interested in when it comes to who they might lose in the expansion draft.
I can't remember. I know the big news was the ones we talked about, but I know that the Colorado Avalanche, they left a couple of big names exposed. Landeskog, wasn't he one of them? Yeah, so that's pretty big. And then yeah, that's huge. I can't remember.
Speaking of Landeskog, there's still people out there thinking that the Preds are going to try to push for this guy. So,
Hey,
that would be, you never know. That'd be crazy. That would be insane.
It's kind of weird because it's like we want a big name guy, but everybody's kind of shy because we've gotten Duchesne and we thought that was going to work out really well and it hasn't. So we just don't know. It's kind of, I don't know.
We're here for it. Buckle up because it's about to get really, it's going to keep flying in here. This month has been crazy already and it's going to continue that way because we got the NHL draft coming up quickly as well. We got free agency about to open up. And then before you know it, we'll get through a little bit of a slow time in August and then boom, we'll start getting ready for training camp. And so it's going to come at us quick. Thanks everyone for listening to episode 57 of Catfish on Ice with Chad Mitten and Rich Howe. We will see you in less than 48 hours for the live expansion draft episode. Can't wait to bring it to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week until we see you on Wednesday. And until then, stay safe, everybody.
Have a good one.